And welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Oh boy, dude, we got a lot of things to talk about today here on the program. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get his thoughts. He was up late last night texting myself, texting Joe Rexrode about things that have nothing to do with the Tennessee Titans, but he was texting anyway.
Yeah, taunting me about the Tigers. It's fine. We'll have that kind of a day if he wants that kind of a day. I've just texted him. Hope it wakes his ass up.
How are we feeling this morning, Joe? What's going on?
That's fine. I mean, I'm done with sports, but I still have to talk and write about sports as a job. But you know what? People do jobs all over the world that they don't love. And I mean, I'm not saying I don't love this job, but I just hate sports. So it's fine. I think I can talk about sports as I hate them. I can write about sports and I hate them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I just want you to know there are 5 games left. There's still some time to dig our way out of this. We're all Detroit Tigers fans.
Yeah. I mean, I'll...
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I'll siphon gasoline through, you know, your tailpipe if they win another freaking baseball game. Okay.
Well, Ian, clip that one up. Here we go. Ian, how are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing good, thanks. Went to bed a little early last night, so I missed the Tigers. I missed woke up to your texts.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. Didn't wake me up at all.
It wasn't too late, right?
So, no, it wasn't too late, but I was kind of half asleep. So, but yeah, doing good.
I cried myself to sleep right after that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, sometimes that helps. But yeah, busy day in Titanland, I suppose, huh?
Yeah.
Joe was actually wrong for a
while. I guess we need to start
there. So he is not, actually.
I guess we need to start there. Our apologies to Joe Rexrode, specifically my apologies to Joe Rexrode, who said yesterday, we heard Brian Callahan's comments on Monday about, hey, you giving any thought to maybe not calling plays anymore? And I thought his answer was just kind of brushing the question off, which the more I think about it, Joe, maybe at the time it was, and maybe he was told something else a little bit later. But you're right. You said that you were wrong for the first time ever on the show yesterday, and it turns out you weren't. So congratulations, the return to your perfect record.
Yeah, well, I'd take a victory lap, but at the end of the show yesterday, I basically admitted that, yeah, I probably am misreading that. But that's an interesting point you bring up, though, that because if you're right about what you just said, then I still wouldn't be right, because I thought it was a peculiar way that he answered it, and I still feel, and then I did listen again yesterday, and I still feel like that he had to have known that it was at least possible at that point.
Maybe so.
You know what I mean? But maybe not. I don't know. Maybe that was a brush off, and then he found out later in the day that it was happening. I guess the first thing that on this, what percentage chance do we think that he made this decision?
Zero.
I'm at 0.0.
Yeah, 0%. I would love to know, does anyone actually think that? Like, is there anybody out there that heard Brian Callahan's, you know, impromptu press conference yesterday where he talked about, you know, this is a decision that I've come to that I feel like this is, this is in the best interest of our football team. Does anybody believe that? Or does everybody believe what I think most of us believe, and that is that he was directed to make this decision? You know, our D-Mays talking about it yesterday, and I think he's exactly right. Like, this is a, hey, you make this decision, or we're going to make another decision for you type of move.
Yeah, maybe. It could be like plainly say it like that, or just sort of like, well, either without even the threat, just like, this is what you're doing,
yeah.
Right? And then you get into, so is this Berserker? Is this from the brain trust of Berserker? Or does it go one step higher?
Yeah.
Thank you. Cannot play that enough. I'm guessing, I mean, I'll be very, you know, we'll have Karski in later. Interested to hear his thoughts and maybe his reporting on this. But I'm guessing that Amy's letting them do their job and it's them. But I don't know.
I mean, the first person I thought of when all this happened, and we figured out Callahan's not calling any plays anymore, is Brinker. So I don't know. Can't prove it. I'm interested to get PK's thoughts on it later. But Brinker is kind of the name that came to mind to me. And, Joe, it feels to me like this is basically the last-ditch Hail Mary to try to save his job. Like, I truly believe this. I believe that Amy Adams Strunk and the Titans brass don't want to fire Brian Callahan because they know about the optics and everything we've talked about with this. They don't want to do it. They know that firing a first-year head coach with your first-year quarterback is not good for the development of the quarterback. So I don't think they want to. I also don't think that they can ignore what we've seen through a 20-game sample size, and specifically what we've seen through the first three games of this year. And if Brian Callahan's gaffes continue in any sort of form from here and any sort of regularity, they know they have to get rid of him at some point. So this feels to me, Joe, like a last-ditch effort to say, you know what, we're going to take the play calling away from you. We're going to see if that enhances your ability to focus on the operation and look like you've got a little bit more of a clue of what you're doing out there. Now, a couple of things that on that front, Joe, that really stand out to me that I've got a problem with. You know, one of the things Callahan said yesterday was that now this allows him to spend more time with the rest of the football team, which is exactly what he said at the end of season press conference last year that he learned that he needed to be better at, right? Like, that's exactly what he said. He said, you know, I spent too much time with the offense this year. I'm the play caller, and I got to do a better job of getting around to every other area of the team. And that's what he said at the end of last season's press conference.
Yep.
So why didn't that happen? If it did not happen?
Because
that's what you said. It's what you said you're going to do. Apparently that didn't happen, and now I guess we're going to believe that it happens now. And number two is this, and it's exactly what we've been talking about for months, and I guess weeks, and I guess we owe an apology to people because when people have called into the show and talked about the idea of Brian Callahan giving up play calling, my response has always been, well, if he does that, then they just need to fire him because what's he doing here, if that's the question?
But I still think you're correct with that assessment. I mean, this is just
it's the precursor to him being fired.
It's a step along the way, you know, because, again, it's like, so the play-calling head coach, I think one of the good examples of what you should do is let's take Sean McVay. And it really is kind of being like the head coach of the offense. I mean, you are the head coach CEO, but Sean McVay said, you know what, Wade Phillips, you are the defensive head coach. I am the offensive head coach, right? It hasn't always worked out that way. But, again, one of the big mistakes, I think, with this whole thing was first-year coordinator across the board.
Yes.
You know, so while, yes, you're technically the head coach, the whole reason, again, for this model that people have embraced all over the league is because you don't want to get caught with a great play caller getting stolen away from you by another team because they can hire away your coordinators. You know, they can't hire away your head coach, who's a great play caller, and then, boom, you have that locked in. So all of which is to say, I just think it was just a bunch of words yesterday. And you know, he's been forced to do this, so he has to put a lipstick on the pig and look in the mirror and all this stuff. I mean, no one buys that. And also, you know, when he was asked later about his play calling, to me, it was funny for one thing, but also, and we'll get into it, but also, like, to me, that's a total confirmation of him not believing that this was the right move.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Brian, anything wrong with your play card?
Nope. Nothing.
It's actually awesome. Thanks for noticing.
Excellent. I think it's actually been excellent, my play calling. Oh, good. Glad you guys are making the decision to demote it then. It's a high bar to live up to. You're excellent play calling out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Chad to the program. Chad, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, morning, guys. Good stuff. My question is, what do you all think about, you know, this has happened so much over time in the NFL where you've got such a separation. If you're a coach, and you just feel, you know, Callahan, when he goes to work in the morning, when he comes home, he tells me, he's like, my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. I don't really have control of the roster. Now I don't have control of what we're going to do on offense. And it just gets to the point, it feels like, where he's just to the point where the team starts to feel that, right? Where he's just like, the coach is just like, this is the Titanic right here. All I can do is rearrange the furniture. And do you think that becomes a vibe? Because I see that happen all over the NFL, all over time, where the coach just gets to the point where, like, what can I do? There's no shot here. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. To his point, Joe, he feels like a guy that's been fired and no one's told him yet. That's what it feels like to me. Like, it feels like they've basically fired him. This is the step before they actually do it. And unless by some miracle things change, and by the way, I've got some thoughts on that if they do, as to what does that mean? Like, who do you give credit to at that point? Because it probably ain't going to be Brian Callahan. So, like, I just don't think that he's in a winnable situation right now.
Yeah, it's like, right. It's like, obviously, if they started winning, playing really well, and if Cam Ward kept taking steps and got better and better and better, and Cam Ward continued to campaign for Brian Callahan, like, could this save him? I mean, I can't say, like, 0%. I mean, I don't think those things are going to – I mean, especially the winning part, I don't think that's going to happen. But like you said, then it's like, okay, so if this change is some huge thing, then, like, where does he factor in?
I mean, let's say in fantasy land here that they turn things around and they look great offensively and they start to roll off some wins here. I'll ask you, what do you think the fan base's reaction going to be? Is it going to be like, oh, look, Brian Callahan? Or is it going to be, hey, why don't you guys fire Brian Callahan and go make Bo Hardigree the head coach? I know which one it's going to be.
That would finally make up for not drafting Hendon Hooker for, you know,
it would.
Bo Hardigree, backup Tennessee quarterback.
Yeah, of course.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. There's the fan base reaction, yes, but there's also the, again, there are people who work for the Titans who know who's doing what.
Yeah.
I like how Callahan broke down all the different.
We know everybody's role now.
And I got to say, I haven't seen a screen from them that's worth the damn. Like, Callahan pointed,
by
Randy
the way,
Jordan, it's his fault that our screens suck. Thank you.
This is exactly who is in charge of the screens out there.
There's a lot. They're making news, you know. Let's give them
credit.
They are making news. They're making all kind of news yesterday.
A lot of news.
Just really bizarre.
We will get into Brian Callahan's demotion, which is what it was, all throughout the show. Take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. The Titans also made a trade yesterday. We'll get into that at some point throughout the show as well. There's a lot to get to on the Titans front. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vinyan will be broadcasting live from 3 to 6 p.m. at Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse this Friday as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. Also a great place to go before or after the Vanderbilt games as well. So make sure you check out Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So Brian Callahan, no longer calling plays. Bo Hardigree, who was the quarterback coach, is now calling plays, which means, Joe, that Nick Holtz, who is the offensive coordinator, just immediately passed over in this conversation.
Hey, guys. Remember me?
when the impromptu announcement came out yesterday that he was having a press conference, this, I think, was immediately most people's reaction. Like, I knew that Brian Callahan wasn't putting together some press conference to get up there and announce that he was getting fired. Like, by the way, guys, I just got canned. So
I looked in the mirror and I canned myself.
So I figured this is probably what it was, that the play calling wasn't going to happen anymore for him. So I guess I figured, you know, the next natural step would be, you know, go to your offensive coordinator and Nick Holtz. But they did not do that. And Brian Callahan was asked about that yesterday. Here's what he had to say on Nick Holtz and how he took the news that he wasn't going to be the play caller.
How did Nick take it when you decided to jump over him and go to Bo?
He took it well. He's a professional. He understands that's the way that These things go sometimes, but his role isn't changing in terms of what he's doing and how he's doing it. His role in the process, his role on game day, all those things are exactly the same as they were before. And again, the play calling thing sometimes gets a little bit overblown, if you will, because everyone's got a role and we all got a process. You know, Bo's still in charge of the third down game plan, and Tyke and Mike McCoy do the red zone, and Nick does all the base downs, and Randy does the screens. And so all those things are all going to stay the same. It doesn't change that process any bit whatsoever. It's just, you know, the plays are at the end of the day on Sunday coming out of somebody else's mouth. I'll be still very present in the process. I'm involved in it, but it's just going to allow me to do more around the team and around in both other phases besides offense and special teams and defense. So it's not really, to me, at the end of the day, it's pretty normal in this league for things like this. This isn't some seismic shift or crazy change. It's just trying to help me do my job a little better and let some other people take on a little bit more.
So that was Brian Callahan saying that Nick Holtz took the news very well, Joe.
This is how things go when other people make decisions for us, and I didn't make the decision at all, by the way. Oh, whoop, did I say that out loud?
Oops.
Yeah. You know, if Denard Wilson and Bones Fossil, they're like, hey, Brian, we're good. We don't need more input from you, actually.
Yeah.
So keep with the offensive guys, please. Yeah, it's just I think it's so silly. I mean, to me, it's like, let the guy do the job.
Or fire him.
That you hired him to do, and this is central to the job that you hired him to do, or he just isn't, it's just move on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're not moving on. I guess two questions. The bigger question is, does this actually help them? Like, Bo Hargreaves does have a track record as an interim play caller, and it actually went well.
With the Raiders, yep.
A lot of things got better with the Raiders that year. Sometimes that's just like, thank goodness Josh McDaniels is the hell out of the building.
Yeah.
I don't care who's calling the plays.
There's a quarterback switch in there too, yeah.
But whatever. I mean, yeah, so it got better. And then, of course, like how much of this was like a placating the fans kind of thing. I don't think from that perspective it works at all. But some people, then again, I say that, Robbie, but there have been people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard Big Joe on the, well, he's got to give up play calling. And I was like, that's just dumb. And I've heard a lot of people on have texted us and called us with that too. So I guess maybe it does placate some people.
Maybe it does. But again, like, I guess my follow-up to all that is, like, where do you go from here? So what? Okay. Let's play this out. It's really bad. If it's really bad, we know what's going to happen. They're all going to get fired. Okay? So that's the easy part. But let's say Bo Hargreaves comes in and does a good job. It would be great. Like, I'd love to see him come in and do a good job because, good Lord, I'm tired of talking about bad football around here. So I hope he comes in and does well. But let's say he does. So what – number one, I mean, going back to the conversation we had last segment, how are you feeling about that? Who's getting the credit? Like, are you giving the credit to Brian Callahan when you forced him to stop calling plays and then the guy who came in and replaced him did a much better job? I kind of doubt it if you're Brinker and Borgonzi and all those guys. And then here's the other part, and this relates back to Nick Holtz. Let's say Hargreaves does a great job and you guys want to keep this operation together next year. Like, he does that well where you're like, you know what? Maybe we found something here and Brian Callahan can be like the overseer, and Bo Hargreaves the play caller. Well, guess what? I mean, Bo Hargreaves probably your offensive coordinator at that point, and Nick Holtz is gone, is he not? Like, is it going to be like, hey, here's the quarterback coach? We'll keep you at the quarterback coach, because if you're Hargreaves, who's already gotten interviews from other teams, by the way, he's probably like, no, I'll take that elevation. I'll take the elevation to offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, you're like, yeah, actually, I'm going to take the OC money.
Yeah,
thank
I will
you
take the
much.
OC money. Thank you. If you're going to make me the OC by proxy here, I'll take the job. That'd be great.
Maybe Callahan won't be fired. Maybe he could be like offensive quality control.
Maybe so.
They can reshuffle things.
I've got
Ed saying that Brian Callahan is Milton from the office, and I've got someone else saying that it's Nick Holtz is Milton from the office.
Okay.
We have multiple candidates.
Office space.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
You said the office, but yeah, same.
Yeah. My bad. Yeah, you know, which you know all the
I know everything about it now. Yeah,
I did get a piece of the cake. Move down to the basement. I don't know which one would be. I guess either one of them could be. But yeah, like. I mean, the Holtz part of this is like, my goodness.
Well, I mean, Callahan hasn't proven to be like some awesome play caller. He's not terrible.
Are you sure?
Callahan?
I ask him. We got to listen to that at some point.
We're going to.
Well, I mean, he's not terrible, but it's not like he's, you know, some game changer in play calling. Yeah. So I don't know how much of a drop off there really could be as far as that goes.
I don't know how much of an elevation there can be either.
I don't either, but I totally agree with you. Like, I don't think it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I don't think it's going to get worse now.
Well, you got to hope this stuff takes away the gaffes of losing games at the halftime and all the situations they've run into, right? Taking the play calling off his plate is so he can focus on getting the basic stuff down.
The funny thing when you say that is that because of the halftime gaffe, which is the whole, you know, focal point, you know, by the way, they got two touchdowns the second half last game.
I know.
It's like the best they've ever done. It's like, okay, that's good. They finally figured out the second half. I don't care. You're out.
Yeah. It's and again, I've got my own thoughts about, good Lord, if you need to take away the play calling to see if he can focus better, then the answer is you probably just don't have the right guy. Like, that's what I keep coming back to in this whole thing. But, you know, we'll see. You know, it's not like the coaching setup is all that strange from the standpoint of forever in the NFL, we've seen a head coach with an offensive coordinator who calls plays and a defensive coordinator who calls plays on the defense.
Right.
And the head coach has been, you know, the overseer. So it's not strange from that standpoint. It's just like you brought the guy in. Part of the reason you brought him in as head coach is because you were that confident in his offensive mind and his ability, you think, to play call. And here we are.
Yeah, and again, it's like, I mean, it's funny. Like, his response on the play calling is funny. We'll talk about it. But, like, I really don't, in all seriousness, I don't think that this is them saying his play calling sucks. I just think this is them, again, I guess it's that, or it's just something to placate people,
yeah.
You know, but I mean, I don't think it's like, I don't think that this is their commentary on his play calling. I think this is their commentary on his game operation, which has obviously been a huge story in the NFL and is not what you want.
I would agree with that as well to a point, but I also think, like, I think everybody's been waiting for Callahan to have that game where it's like, wow, look at it. Like, you can, like, if you watch around the league, whether it's McVay, Kyle Shanahan, like the top guys that everybody looks at and is why all these guys are getting hired because of what these top guys have done. Like, it doesn't take long for you to watch it and you look at it and you say, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty well-schemed, well-called offensive game plan. And I think people around here have been waiting on that from Brian Callahan to walk away from a game and being like, oh, yeah. I mean, he just dialed everything up perfectly. And we're 20 games in, and I don't think that's just going to appear out of thin air at this point.
Yeah, but I mean, and I know this is the default, and it goes around and around, but it's like, how many, if you sat in the film room after a game, how many times could you see, yep, see, right here, it's there, oh, but the right tackle let our quarterback get hit,
well, 0.8 seconds. But, right? Like, let's go back to last year again. The Green Bay Packers had Malik Willis come in at quarterback and absolutely kicked your butt.
Yeah.
Like,
that's still a good football team.
I understand that. But it was Malik Willis at quarterback came in, and he looked like Michael Vick out there. Why do we think that happened? It's because of coach. Like,
sure.
And that's what you're looking for in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that this has distinguished it for sure. It doesn't really matter. It's at some point when you have the mistakes he's made, you know, like that just over. I mean, I still like, I think there's probably some of these coaches who look good, like McVay. I'm with you, or Shanahan. Like, those guys, there's no question. Like, they could figure stuff out that would elevate it. I also think there's a lot of coaches that could come here and suck.
Oh, I agree. I'm just saying, know, like,
and lose.
I'm just saying,
lose a lot.
Like, it's a 20 game. There's so much around it. It's a 20 game sample size where he's won three of them. So that's bad enough by itself. But it's also a 20 game sample size where he just has looked like an average at best guy calling plays. And to think that that's just all of a sudden going to change, I don't think you're living in reality. And I think they know that. Like, I think they know that by this point. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more coming on this. We will get to your calls. We will get to your text coming up next. We will also get to some comments from Brian Callahan about what he thought of his play calling coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, anytime, guys, anytime. Thank you, though. But I got a couple things here that I was trying to get in a DVD yesterday, but got a little tied up. But on DVD yesterday, that PK had a little segment there, a little quote about how many people that were in Brinker's ear. Seems like very often there seems like five people in Brinker's ear, like weighing an opinion, and Brinker kind of led us into that as well. And I feel like there's still elements of the collaboration at that point. It's like, why do we still have five? Like, why does Callahan feel like he needs to have five people in his ear weighing options of whether or not to kick the field goal before the half or to go for it? And I just don't necessarily think that that would be a great thing. Maybe we could just be more efficient and just eliminate some of these people in his ear. Again, that could help him out, but we know Callahan's a placate. He's not going to tell anybody no or really like how he feels or like take a firm stance on anything. So that's to his own detriment. Also, too, this operation is complete comedy because they do so much backtracking on their words. Seems like every week, and then now it's like this from the first season to the second season, it's just they're completely moving backwards. Wednesday, Monday, you know, Callahan calls great plays, has no regrets, and then gives up play calling. Like, this is just some of the funniest stuff, and I can't wait to hear the positive praise that Cam Ward is going to give, how great Hardegree is and his play calling as well, because, you know, he's the biggest supporter of in there as well. And lastly, your boy Lyons, he had a great tweet yesterday talking about Brinker keeping on Callahan as a human shield, essentially. Yeah. You know, taking the distraction off of, or using him as a distraction to keep the attention off of Brinker. And I guess because Brinker knows he's next. And I think that was a great take, and that also needed to be some words in there to have some refreshers going on anyways. But, guys, hey, the gift that keeps on giving, man. Happy Festivus. Tighten up.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate it. A lot there from Jared.
That was a lot. Brinker, by the way, a lot of people talking about Brinker. I mean, I assume we'll get a call from Adam, Robbie. But real quick, let me just read Adam here. Adam is on one. He's in the YouTube chat. He's in the chat driven by the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. He's about to call us. He's hopefully stalking PK.
Telegram.
Send a telegram. There you go. Send a little birdie. He says, Brinker's a joke, plain and simple. Any grown businessman who references Moneyball in an intro, just to let you know he reads books, cannot be trusted. I see right through his BS. It'll be a great day when Amy sees it too and fires him. Laughing at the question about our roster. Cool. Smell you later, D-bag. Fired. My goodness, Adam. It's not even 7 a.m. This is a little bit aggressive.
Well, at least he didn't say he hated his father in that text. So that may be coming in.
Dad sucks. His uncle sucks. His third cousin sucks.
Send back to our phone line. Welcome in Kenny the Mailman to the program. Kenny, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hello, good friends. I need some help, and I'm reaching out to y'all. Can y'all help me this morning?
Well, we hope so.
Did y'all get good grades in math class?
Oh, no. Growing up? You know, I was actually doing really well until geometry.
Well, I hope y'all can help me. I barely got out of Cone High School, but I got out and I've already broke my number two pencil this morning trying to figure out this math problem. We had a fifth-round draft pick who has gotten on the field and played at one of the hardest positions to play. And it seems to me the only problem is he needs hard coaching. He needs someone to really get in his ear and just oversee him. But we take that fifth-round pick. We have control of his money for a few years now. Trade him for a six-round pick, but wait, it's not a true six-round pick because we're having to give a seventh-round pick to get the six-round pick, which will be about 22 picks higher than the seventh-round pick. I just can't add it up. Can y'all add that up for me?
Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. We will try.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten to that, but
we will. We will get into that coming up here in just a few minutes.
That's a good breakdown from Kenny.
It's very well laid out there. It's very confusing on the surface, the Jarvis Brownlee trade. So we will get into that here in just a few minutes. I do want to get to the Brian Callahan and his thoughts on his play calling yesterday. So let's go ahead and do that. Here is what Brian Callahan had to say eventually when asked about what he thought of his own play calling yesterday at his press conference.
It's more about you trying to get more of a big picture feel for yourself as it is to kind of a disappointment in your play calling. Is that?
Yeah, I've had zero disappointment in my play calling. I mean, I don't have any disappointment in that at all. But it's just more just so I can see the rest of it, see the big picture better and do a better job of it.
My play calling is freaking awesome, dude. Maybe you didn't notice every play should have been a touchdown.
Oh, man. I will say these Callahan press conferences have gotten a lot more entertaining because there's a lot of stuff to pick through in the aftermath of them.
If anybody really believed, and look, like these teams, like this happens.
Yeah.
They all lie. I mean, I've seen Mike Mularkey up there. Yeah, I fired one of my best friends because I just was mad at him. It had nothing to do with Amy, even though we just got embarrassed in Houston. It was all me.
Yeah.
It was all my call. This happens all the time. But if anybody like had any question about whether like Callahan was telling the truth when he's like, I just looked in the mirror and I mean, listen to that quote and seriously ask yourself.
I mean, look, I'm not getting on the Nashville media here because there's a lot going on.
Soft
yesterday.
Media?
No,
soft?
That's not, but I guess the natural follow-up to that would be, well, if you have zero disappointment with your play calling, why are you giving it up? Right? Like, because you know, like if you're not worried at all about the play calling and you claim that this is your decision that you're giving it up and you feel good about the play calling, I mean, aren't you taking a risk here if you feel good about the play calling where the play calling's getting worse?
I guess you feel really bad about your ability to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Process basic things like the clock and the rules.
Yeah, I mean, when he said that, I mean, look, when he got up there in the first part of the press conference yesterday and he started talking about how, you know, he just feels like this is the decision that he needs to make right now and that it's the best interest of the football team and all that stuff. Like, we all knew at the time that that was not what was happening. But when he said that, when he said he had zero disappointment in the play calling, I mean, it's confirmation. Like, he got told that, hey, buddy, you're not calling plays anymore.
Right. I mean, he there's no way he's happy about this. And then the next question to me, or one of the next questions, is, you know, you got to ask about Nick Holtz. Like, is that his call?
Yeah.
Did he say, yeah, actually, let's give it to Bo, he'd be better? Or is it like, not only are we taking this away from you, but, yeah, your guy Nick Holtz, who you went to high school with, that's he's not going to call the plays.
Was Ziegler in Oakland at the same time, I wonder?
That's a good question.
I wonder how much he knows about him.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I should have looked that up before I just popped on.
But there might be some carryover. Maybe he had some influence.
See, that's the
There's
thing.
About 1,000 people in the front office.
I was
so.
Say, to Jared,
Reggie McKenzie.
There's so many freaking people here that are involved in all this.
No, Amy's done a great job. Let's just have a big booyah-base of all kinds of people. I'm sure it'll work out. There's no egos or issues there. And no one knows who's responsible for anything or who reports to who. It'll be great. Let's pay them all. It's a wonderful franchise.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next on the Callahan offensive play calling situation. We will get into the Jarvis Brownlee trade as well, which was mystifying in its own right yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number.
What are they doing to my Alyssa Milano on Charmed right now? Can we just talk more about Charmed and less about the Tennessee Titans?
Yep. I'd rather talk more about, you know, what color paint people are buying. What's in season right now? Let's get more paint talk on the program.
Did you say Peyton or Painting?
Paint!
or we could talk about the violence that Paul Garcia is about to endure when he comes in the studio if he keeps talking trash to me. Dane from Nolensville says,
"You can't put your helmet on."
Yeah, I told him. Dane from Nolensville says Bill Belichick. What do you guys think? Belichick?
No thanks.
I mean, he's,
probably not.
He's he may be available soon.
He might be. We got a lot of confidence in Bill and Jordan. Jordan's going to be offensive coordinator. We copied her on every email.
Nice.
Be a very Titans thing to do at this point. Like, yeah, come on in, Bill. Hey, come fix this.
What would surprise us at this point? Yeah. Could there be anything?
Oh, man. Here's another thing that I wonder about. So, let's say the Titans feel good about Bo Hargrey, right? You know, Bo Hargrey has been the quarterback coach coaching Cam Ward, which I still think we would all believe pretty important this year,
yeah,
the development of Cam Ward. Well, not that he can't coach him now, but you are putting a little bit more on him to be the play caller and probably, you know, by proxy taking some more of his day-to-day responsibilities as quarterback coach away from him because he's worried about calling plays and putting together, you know, a game plan, a script, all those things for the game coming up on Sunday. I don't think it's the world's biggest deal, but it is interesting that they went straight to the quarterback coach when all they're really worried about this year is developing the quarterback. So, I don't know. I found that interesting.
Yeah, well, there's a – I don't know. This I come up with these ideas in the middle of things and say, hey, Ian, grab me this quote out of thin air, will you? But at one point, Bo Hargrey yesterday was like, Cam will be fine. And I was like, yeah?
He's three games in, man.
No, Cam's fine. Yeah, I need a quarterback coach. Yeah, I got to call some plays. I get ready to call some plays. Cam's fine. He'll be okay.
I mean, I just thought about that yesterday. I was like, so they went straight to the – I mean, forget – the in some ways hilarity of just skipping over the offensive coordinator and being like, oh, we don't want the offensive coordinator calling plays.
I did not get a piece
we
of cake.
We do not want that happening. Nick Holtz, we do not want anywhere near the play sheet.
Last time I did not get a piece of cake, and this time I did not get a piece of cake.
I mean, just forget that for a second. But going right to the quarterback coach, and it's like, well, we like the work that you're doing with the quarterback every day. And we all would agree that the quarterback the most important thing, but now we're going to – basically, make you spend less time with the quarterback now because you got to worry about calling plays. I don't know.
I don't care about what Cam's doing. You need to call better plays for Cam.
Yeah.
And then Brian, he can look at the clock. And me, you know, okay? Let's count up how many timeouts we have. How long is that field goal? Okay. How's the K-ball? Do they have the K-ball? There's so many amazing things that can be better now. Now,
Brian,
maybe.
Which yard line is this on? Is it your seven or their seven?
What's the difference there? Yeah. I mean, maybe Brian Callahan.
We don't want to be accused of laughing too much about the Titans.
That's right. This is serious stuff.
Yeah, it's serious stuff.
We need to be very solemn and, yeah, very serious about this. Maybe Brian Callahan becomes quarterback coach. Like I said, like it, all this ends up, all's well that ends well, and Brian Callahan is $8 million a year quarterback's coach.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of these questions today, which is understandable. What does the offensive coordinator even do? Now, I've heard Big Joe before talk about this, and this was when Brian Callahan was the head coach and the play caller. And Big Joe's thing has always been, well, if you're the offensive coordinator not calling plays, like, what do you do?
But again, it's up all over the league.
It's all over the league. What they do. Yeah, I mean, you can – and you know,
they said he was in charge of base down.
Yeah, he's the base down guy.
He's the base down guy. So, yeah.
Better than screens. He's better than the screen guy.
Not a lot better than screens, but a little bit. But, like, to his point, you know, half the league's got play-calling head coaches, right? So, there are plenty of offensive coordinators that don't call plays that I'm sure play an important role in the offense, the structure of the offense. I'm sure they weigh in on play calls from time to time. So, all that's fine. But it is, like, if you're him today, like, I think if you're him today, you're probably as hopeless as anybody from the standpoint of, okay, well, we all feel pretty confident we're all getting fired at some point here because you can read the tea leaves and see where this is probably going. But let's say that this works out and Hargrey's really good. Well, I'm not going to be the offensive coordinator anymore. Like, Nick Holtz is screwed. He's done here. Like, that's one of my takeaways from this is, well, if Hardegree's pretty good and he works out, if the Titans want to keep him around, they're probably going to have to make him the offensive coordinator, which says bye-bye Nick Holtz at that point. So he's the worst off out of all this today.
Right. Like if you get to the point where, again, they're like, okay, we got to take play calling away from Brian, which is what happened. If you're him, again, you could think of, okay, so here's a scenario where, like, you know, because sometimes I know some Titans fans are hoping like there's some kind of a bump from this for the team, you know, like obviously sometimes you see coaching change and you get a bump. Like, could something like this shaking it up, does that give you something? Who knows? But if it goes well, then Nick Holtz now has on his resume, hey, I called some plays. Like, I have play calling on my resume. I mean, remember, he was a one-year passing game coordinator in Jacksonville, and he kind of – I mean, it was kind of a fast track from what he was doing to this situation. But, yeah, now it's just like – I mean, they have basically declared, yeah, this guy, nah, we'll just go ahead and leapfrog him real fast here.
Yeah. Well, I think what you said early in this conversation is something that when this is all said and done and Brian Callahan's getting fired, which is what's going to happen here, you know, just a matter of when. When this happens, I think one of the things that Brian Callahan is going to look back on, and there's going to be several things that he's going to look back on, but one of the things is going to be, did I just make an absolutely colossal mistake when I was hired to go first-year offensive coordinator, yeah, first-year defensive coordinator, right out of the jump with
me? Well, and first-year special teams coach, which, yeah, was the worst part of last year's team.
Right.
Yeah, gigantic errors in staff hiring.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look, the whole nepotism thing, and that people bring it up with him and his dad, I understand that. You can look around the history of the NFL. I mean, there's plenty of nepotism. There's also, like, I don't know, Buddy Ryan's kids could coach a little bit. I mentioned Wade Phillips earlier, Bum's kid. I mean, like, there's plenty of that works out. The high school buddy thing. I mean, again, that happens too. A lot of these coaches, who do you trust? Like, who you know, but it's just like, it was a little bit, it's like, what a great story. Dad, son, and he used to drive them to the movies, you know, in the 90s. You know, it's like maybe a little bit too much of that.
Yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Titans weren't done yesterday when they announced that Brian Callahan's not calling plays anymore. Jarvis Brownlee traded to the New York Jets. I was pretty stunned by it. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.